Okay.
Well, my microphone is powerful.
That's too bad.
This is an interview with Orin Fredrickson for the Leelanau Voices Oral History Project of the Leelanau Historical Museum on January 20th, 1994 at Mr. Fredrickson's home at 10414 North Shore Drive, Northport. The interviewer is Betty Mann. Now, we've talked a little bit about your background, and I'd like to talk about it a little bit on tape. When did your family come to Leelanau County, and why?
They were immigrants from Norway, both grandparents, and I think they probably homesteaded at farms in the area.
Were they farmers in the old country?
I'm not too familiar with my grandparents. They were died when I was quite young.
I see. And so when they came here, though, they were farmers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did they always live in the Northport area? Were there farms here, do you think?
Yes, they lived here.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your boyhood. Where did you live?
I spent most of my boyhood with my parents, who lived just outside the gates at Northport Point.
See?
I caddied, watered the greens and such.
Was it well established in those days?
I would say yes.
Did you come into town often?
Not too often. I would say I, not a loner, but I spent a lot of time. My father always had a job for me.
Where did you go to school?
Went to Northport. I started out in the country school, by the way. It was called the Bite School. And it's between Northport and Northport Point. And from there, I went to the Northport High School, grade school and high school, and graduated.
Now, I'm going to ask your wife, when did your family come to the area?
That would be probably in 1912 or something like that. They were originally, both of them, from the Grand Rapids area.
I see.
And my father was a druggist and worked in Traverse City, then came to Northport. And I was born here.
Was he a druggist here?
Yes.
Where was his shop?
At the corner store, what is called the corner store now. We owned that building and lived upstairs.
Isn't
I was born upstairs in that store.
My goodness, that certainly is an old time one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, as you know, we're particularly interested in what went on in the peninsula and the county during World War II. And we know, of course, that some of the young folks went to service, and some had jobs in critical areas, and some stayed home and farmed. Now, let's see, how old would you have been in 41?
1913.
41. Well, if I can do that.
28, I guess.
28
years old, I would say.
Now, let's see, before that time, were you still living on the farm, or were you married by then?
We were married in 38. We had been married 2 or 3 years when Pearl Harbor, I think.
I see. A couple of years, I think.
And you, but you were living out at the Point at that time?
Mm-mm. We were living in the Village, but I was working at the Point.
Okay. When, what was the event, or when did you realize there was going to be a war?
Well, let's see, Pearl Harbor came
December.
Mm-hmm. And in the spring, I guess it was, or early
December
summer.
December 7th, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Early summer, we, Gene and I, decided that since there wasn't too much work here, we decided we would go downstate and see if we could do anything to help in the war.
And so what happened then? You just picked up and...
Well, we had a little coupe and we packed it full of everything we thought we might need. And I can remember we went out to say goodbye to my parents. And along came one of my father's customers. By the way, it was Harry Kipke, football coach from University of Michigan.
Well, for goodness sakes.
He wanted to know, well, where are you going? And I said, well, we're going downstate. And he said, do you have a job? And I said, no. Well, so he pulled out a pad out of his pocket and wrote down an address and said, this is the one, you've got a job. And he referred me to a name and place. And so we went left, and where it was at the bomber plant in Ypsilanti. We drove up to the work shack there, and were just putting in the foundations. And we looked out on that field, and it was mud. So
up to your knees.
Between the two of us, we decided, well, we'll see if we can't find something different than that.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on to Detroit to Jean's aunt, and in the morning she had the paper out and on the help wanted, and I answered one of the ads, and it was at a automobile upholstering plant that was being converted into a parachute.
Mm-hmm.
So I helped there for several months.
That was in Detroit area?
In Detroit area. We had to do the sewing tables, enlarge it, and then redo the plant. I worked there several months.
Using your construction skills, though.
Uh-huh. In the carpenter shop.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we, Gene came home and bought a little trailer. So we moved out on Telegraph Road, and it was hot out there, I tell you. And I applied for a job at the shipyard down in Wyandotte, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm. Trenton, I think.
Trenton.
So they asked me at the office had I had any experience building ships, and I told them, well, I fixed a rowboat once. And they said, you're hired. Well, anyway, what they were building was wooden sub chasers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had not had time to build steel ones yet, and these were just temporary until they could get the steel ones built. And at this plant, eventually, Martin Telegar,
Stuart Kimmerly.
Stuart Kimmerly, the electrician from Northport.
Is that Beatrice Kimmerly's husband?
Her brother-in-law.
Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Parker, the welding shop from Northport, was there. Two men from Leland that were, I can't remember the name.
Anderson brothers.
No, excuse me just a minute. Were these, all these folks went for a patriotic reason, or just to get a job, or what was the thinking?
Our reason was both. In fact, we left town, I think, with maybe $50. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So times are pretty tough up here then.
I imagine that with the war and a lot of people gone, maybe there wasn't that much business for the other fellows either.
Anyway, I can still see Martin Telegard with his broad axe and, well, we call it a shithole. That was down there working on those huge keels that went into these wooden boats.
Mm-hmm.
And so were the Anderson brothers from Leland.
Now, were they boat builders?
I don't know, but they were a good craftsman.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider Martin Telgard a boat builder or just a good
craftsman? Yes, he had, before the war, he worked at the boat yard here in Northport.
Well, wasn't his father a boat builder to begin with?
Yes, his father was a boat builder.
Mm-hmm. So were you fellows all about the same age?
I think they were, might have been a little older. I was the youngest.
Mm-hmm. And you were about 30 or so, 29?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably 30.
Mm-hmm. Were you the only ones who didn't have children?
Yes.
Martin had two little daughters.
We didn't.
That was
well, he had three. He had the boy, too, but I'm not sure whether Jim was born yet or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember that. But they didn't have them down there.
They did.
Did they?
The daughters for a while.
I can't remember.
Anyway, we worked there until the contract was done because they were getting better boats out of the steel shipyards.
Well, so, did you young fellows and ladies from small town up here feel comfortable down there?
It was tough for a while, but after a while, that trailer park out on Telegraph Road was hot. Man, it was hot and muddy. It was new. So we found a grove down on Trenton behind a restaurant. The lady was very kind to us. And it ended up that this group I'm talking about, all of us had to put our trailers in there.
Really?
We
so
sort
we
of
had
a little community of our own.
I bet that was wonderful. That was fun. This lady had a restaurant in this grove of trees, and I think she had room for about 16 trailers, and that was all.
Mm-hmm.
How many we had. And it was kind of a nice little group, actually.
Did you get together with one another?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of things would you do?
Oh, we liked to go to the dances. We'd go to the
Play
shows
cards.
When we had enough gasoline to go, play cards.
I remember, you know, it was tough to get along with such little gasoline they allowed us. And all the other ones in the group had enough gasoline to go home or somewhere to their relatives. And Gene and I didn't have any gas enough to do anything, so we stayed there. But we did, on Christmas Eve, we decided to go into Wyandotte. And Gene could see the families joining in their Christmas, and so the tears were running down her.
First time I was really homesick.
That's a hard time to be away.
Yeah, it was.
Do you remember how much gas you were allowed?
It was very little, I don't remember.
Enough to get to work and back and forth. And once in a while we'd try to save up enough so we could come home. I think maybe we got home about twice all that time.
Gene, did you work down there?
Not down there.
Mm-hmm. We'll come to that, though. She did work.
Well, there were all four of us women went across. It was all across the road from the Monsanto plant, plus another real good-looking girl. And of the bunch of us, the good-looking girl got the job. At least we thought that was the reason she got it.
Now, where was the Monsanto plant? Was that when you went up to Bay City?
No, this was across the road
from
us down in,
okay.
in Trenton. It was south of Trenton a
mm-hmm.
little bit. But
anyway, we got through with our contract there. And we were called up to Bay City because they needed help in there. It was a small shipyard. The big shipyard was Defoe's or something, but this was a small shipyard on the river, and they were completing a contract with about 50-foot boats that were able to land on the islands because they had a inverted transom.
Mm-hmm. What did they call those, landing craft? Or?
No, they weren't really landing craft. They were just, small ships.
Mm-hmm. They would carry about how many folks would you say?
Oh, that not too many, maybe 25 or something like that.
Was that the PT boat?
No.
Oh.
Anyway, I helped them finish that contract, but then they were getting the new contracts for PT boats, and that's where I spend the rest of the war.
Is that right?
And it was, I enjoyed it because it was the kind of carpenter work that I like to do. We did, I had a crew when we did the finish work on the PT boats.
Mm-hmm.
And these, should I continue?
Oh, you bet.
Well, these PT boats, a PT boat normally is a torpedo ship.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're 85 feet long. And they're built like a Chris Craft speedboat.
Right.
They're very fast and powerful. But these ships that we were building did not have torpedo space. The space that was for the torpedoes was changed to dispensaries. They were little hospital ships, hospital boats.
And nobody's ever told me that.
And the purpose of these fast hospital boats were to pick up flyers that were down in the Pacific.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Or anybody else that needed help. And the Navy was standing at the door rushing us to get them out as fast as we could. They would take them down the Mississippi or they would take them out to St. Louis, I don't know.
Did most of them go to the Orient? To Japan
I think
area?
Pacific.
Oh.
I think. Anyway.
How were the working conditions in the plants during the war?
I would say they were fairly good. But I know a lot of defense plants where they were kind of just a job, but we really had interest in getting our ships out. I don't know.
Sounds like you were very patriotic about it and took pride in your work.
Anyway, Gene and I found a cabin, there were about 10 of them by a gas station, and a one-room cabin with a bathroom we were.
Mm-hmm. Kind of an
and
efficiency. Really.
Finally, we got rid of that little tiny trailer, and I can't say that we enjoyed it, but we were comfortable. And Gene got a job at the spark plug plant right near the shipyard. Was converted to make Jeep horns.
Autolite.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she spent the.
My department was making Jeep horns.
So you worked
was
on
nice.
A line, what?
Mm-hmm. It was, and it depended how much we did, how much we got paid piecework.
What did you wear for a job like that?
Oh, just slacks and a blouse. And I don't remember if we had aprons or not, because our department was strictly for these horns.
I see.
And it was kind of hard out
there. Anyway, about this time, my draft number was coming up.
I was just going to ask you. Well, you were registered, of course.
Oh, yes, I was registered here locally. But I guess they had been filling it with younger guys, maybe unmarrieds and such. And
did you know anybody on the draft board here?
I don't know.
Yes, I knew one person that I knew. I think it was Mr. Hall.
I don't remember anything about who was on the draft board.
Anyway, I was getting ready to leave, but by someone or whatever you call it, I turned over to my boss, and I never felt too good about this, but the rest of all the time, my draft material went to the office there, and I never even seen them anymore. And I'm not proud that I didn't go to the war.
They deferred
me.
I see. Well, that was rather common, wasn't it, to defer someone who was good at what they were doing in the war effort?
Well, I had a crew at that time, and I was
farming.
Enjoying what I was doing. And also, at that time, Gene's two brothers were both severely wounded in Europe. Mm-hmm. And well, Gene, mothers discouraged me from it.
No, I did.
Probably.
I never felt good about not going to the service, but I spent the war.
You shouldn't feel that way.
I spent the rest of the war building PT boats.
Mm-hmm. Tell me if you knew a lot of other folks besides your brothers, Gene. Were there other local guys who went to war that you know?
Well, gosh, mm-hmm. I think everybody in town of age.
How did the farmers get along?
I don't really know.
Well, some of them were deferred. I mean, like George
Fredrickson? No, George Fredrickson was in.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, we were here.
Sure, that's right.
You know that every once in a while, even yet, something will come up that has happened around here. And I'm a blank, and come to find out those 3 years that we were gone,
wow,
we missed a lot of different things.
Well, I'll continue.
Sure.
We knew finally that the war was going to be over. I mean, it was well known that it was all done except signing, I guess. And we finished our PT contract. But I was deferred, so I had to stay in the war effort. So they send me up to Cadillac, the Chris-Craft plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't finished their contract yet. It was they were building landing barges, and they were a crude ship. But anyway,
was it a big plant in Cadillac?
Medium, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty rough work after I had been finishing work all the time. And
that mahogany.
Yeah. So I complained a little bit to my boss. And what the Chris-Craft people were doing, they were getting ready for after-war business. They were planning pleasure craft. So they took me off the line, and I helped build patterns for new Chris-Craft boats and finished the war.
Well, that was pretty exciting. Let's see, I want to ask you some questions in particular.
Hey, I shouldn't have wandered on.
That's all right. Let's see, you've already indicated that you've, for the most part, you liked your work pretty much. How many hours a week did you work?
Oh, Lord, I got PT boats. We worked long hours. I can't remember.
Like 10 hours a day, 12
probably,
hours a day?
Probably.
Every day, 7 days a week?
Well,
not Sunday.
I think we had Sunday off.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you about Gene. That were they fussy at that
Autolite
plant? Autolite plant. if you didn't show up to work, there was a lady that came and knocked on the door and wanted to know why. And a couple times, we were tired, or Jean was,
I was sick that one time. She walked right in.
My word.
She was a big, heavy set woman.
Oh. Gosh, like the truant officer.
That's right. But then maybe there weren't enough people, you know,
to keep
even
the line
women
going
were doing things.
What were your wages?
I don't remember our wages, but they were more than I could earn here in at North.
Substantially more?
Yes, I would say so.
Would you say you were making 150 a week or 200 a week? Or
I don't remember. Isn't that awful? But I know that mine didn't amount to a whole lot. It really depended on how much, maybe like $17, $20 or something like that a week.
Is that
all you
mean?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Wasn't very much.
Well, at that time, they were, wages were high.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago.
Were you able to build up a little mystic to bring back with you?
Mm-hmm.
I think we saved a little.
Mm-hmm. Then we bought some war bonds.
Oh, yeah.
Some bonds.
Did
and
your companies urge you to buy bonds?
I think they took it out of our pay, it seems like. And yeah, we were able to
one thing
make a down payment on starting our house here.
Mm-hmm. This particular house?
Mm-hmm.
It's different. Did you own the property?
Yeah, we bought that before we left. That was
probably a wonderful time to buy Babe properties.
I think we paid $3 a foot.
Oh my word.
That's
don't
right.
ever tell I that.
That's exactly right.
Oh. So, as soon as your time was up, then you were released from your job there in Cadillac, is that right?
Yes. Jean had already set up homekeeping and a rented home here at Northport.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled back and forth to Cadillac once a week.
I see. So you were both anxious to get back here.
Oh, we were. Couldn't wait.
we were offered much more money to stay downstate, but we decided we would rather live in Northport.
So you were offered
for less
jobs to stay there because of your skills?
Mm-hmm.
Dependability?
Well, Crisscross has a big plant down there. It's in the Detroit area. It's on the...
Used to be, anyway.
I think it's...
I kind of remember that. Was it Jefferson or something?
Was
like
it in Monroe? I don't, can't remember.
We both decided that we'd rather come back home and earn less money than to be down there and stand in line. And city life, I guess, wasn't for us.
I see. So your returning here was really voluntary. It didn't have anything other than that to consider. I want to go back for a minute. I'd like to have you both describe Northport before the war and after the war, and tell me if you saw changes in those years.
Oh, it's different now. But yet it's the same. It's hard to tell.
What did it look like as far as shops?
We didn't have the all the gift shops and things
mm-hmm.
like we used to have, or like we have now. And well, the buildings were all older. Now they're starting to fix them up. So. Town looks better, and I don't know, it just
had the population changed much?
It has. We've got a lot more people around. A lot
the summer,
of,
I mean, before the war and then Just after
before
the war.
The war, it seemed like it was just mostly local people, except for the summer resorters that came.
Mm-hmm. Cherry
but
pickers.
Then, oh yes, we used to have cherry pickers. But when Labor Day came, it seemed like everybody left, and there weren't people coming back and forth through the winter like they do now.
And then after the war, how was it?
So,
had that changed much, or was it?
For a while, it was seems like it was about the same, but then people began to discover Leelanau County.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so it really got going as a resort area, you'd say, in the late 40s?
Mm-hmm.
This